Anyone didn't get this outline? Everybody got it? Turn your Bible with me to Joshua 1. Bob, can you hear me?
I can hear you great.
Good, thank you. All right, Joshua 1. Let's give a quick introduction, then we will start at the verse chapter 1 of Joshua 1. Well, it'll be better if I go before Judge. In the book of Genesis, Israel was born. In the book of Exodus, it was delivered, it was chosen. And in the book of Leviticus, it was drawn near to God by the sacrificial blood of animals. In the book of Numbers, she was approved. In the book of Deuteronomy, she was instructed again. In the book of Joshua, now we find that she is facing conflict and conquest in the promised land as God promised. In the book of Joshua, we will find it is a complete redemption of Israel that was started in the book of Exodus and goes all the way to the into the promised land, and it will finish there. The key word that we find in Exodus, book of Joshua, would be, the keyword is the possession. It talks about the possessing the promised land, not the way the people would like to have, but the way God wants. Then we will stop here and we will pray. Heavenly Father, our hearts are excited to see and study this new book, Joshua. We believe that you're going to speak to our heart and teach us the things that you want us to learn, how to conquer the areas that you want us to conquer, and fight off against the evil ones. But we are not going there with our own power, but we're going there with your power. Give us understanding of your word. Give us wisdom. And most of all, let the Holy Spirit manifest himself in our lives, that we may glorify Jesus. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. The author would be none other than Joshua, according to Talmud, which is the collection of ancient rabbinic writings of Orthodox Judaism. Joshua wrote everything except the last five verses of this book. And that five verses was finished by the Phinehas, who was a priest. Joshua was the successor of the Moses. He was a great general, and he was born as a slave in Egypt. When the Exodus started, he was 40 years old. And when they finished their wilderness experience for 40 years, of course, he became 80 years old. And he was in the promised land for 30 years until his death and 110 years old. Joshua had a yearning heart for God's presence. And we find that in let's keep your finger right there, Exodus chapter 3. We got to go see that. Wherever we find Moses, we find Joshua right next to him. Joshua was known as Moses' assistants. So he was promoted from the Moses' assistant to the successor of Moses. Let's go to verse 11. No, I'm sorry, 33, not chapter 3. 33, 11. Exodus 33, 11. Moses just met the Lord in the tabernacle, and he finished his business with God. So, verse 11, so the Lord spoke to Moses face to face as a man spoke to his friend. And he would return to the camp, but his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, and the young man did not depart from the tabernacle. He lingered around the tabernacle because he wanted to be with God. That is so neat, in my opinion. Joshua name, it means that Jehovah saves. We find the same word in the New Testament as Jesus. Yes, it's a common word. Very, very common name. Joshua was a man of courage, dependence on God. He's faithful, he's enthusiastic, and he has a man of integrity. He was just a normal person. However, because of his name, he was a type of Jesus Christ, and the name was that in his name and work. Let's stop right there. Typology is very important in the Bible. Remember when we studied Exodus? Moses was the type of what? Jesus against Pharaoh, delivering the people of Israel from the bondage of slavery of Egypt to freedom. So Moses was a Jesus type of Jesus. This time, Moses became different type, and Joshua is the one who's taking over the type of Jesus Christ. He's the kind of person who had average ability, but God is the one who chose, and he was selected by the man, all men who knew God and who also knew Joshua, so he was the one who succeeded the Moses' position. This book, Joshua, is some Bible scholars believe that the book of Joshua was kind of connect with the book of Ephesians because both describe the spiritual walk of promise and the wealth and the victory that are ours with Jesus Christ. As we see the children of Israel crossing the Jordan River into this promised land, some of you guys, those who are familiar with the old hymn, will say, well, Jordan River kind of represent that death, our death, and also promised land would represent heaven. However, I disagree, respectfully disagree with that analogy, because as these people, children of Israel, go into the promised land, and they fight against this, all these ites of these people. The reason why I said I disagree with them is because if this death represents heaven, promised land represents heaven, there wouldn't be a fight in the land. You agree? So I do not believe the Jordan represents the death, nor that the promised land represents heaven. But however, I believe the crossing Jordan River is a process of sanctification. From the wilderness that is our old carnal life, in crossing over the Jordan River, which is a process of sanctification, into the promised land is our new life as a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. As we study this book, we will find encouragement. We'll find a challenge. Because Joshua is a normal human being, just like any one of us, he reacted upon his own strengths, and instead of inquiring God, he made a mistake. God put that in there too. If I'm the one who is writing a biography of Jerry Hamby, I would write everything good about him, very small area of the bad things. I'm sure Renee would tell me everything about all the bad things he did, but we'll kind of slash off just a couple of bad things, small size one. But God is so honest with his book. He clearly indicated what Joshua made mistake, what kind of mistake he made. I believe that this book will give us abundance of lessons that we can learn from Joshua and his people. The area we need to conquer, whatever that is, individually we are different. We can begin see the God speaking, walking in our lives, bringing us victory that we need to have in our lives. We'll start at verse 1 of chapter 1 in the book of Joshua. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun. That doesn't mean she, okay? Nun, get it? Okay, went over your head. Moses' assistant, I know it's a corny joke, yes, sorry. Moses, my servant is dead. Jesus is making it very clear. God is making very clear this Moses is dead. Move on. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all these people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses. On the line of verse 4, first portion, please. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, and all the land of Hittite, and to the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. And on the line, verse 5, too, please. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life, and as I was with Moses, so will I be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Of course, we remember that same verse from the Hebrew chapter 11, verse 5. Moses was not the man who to lead Israel to the promised land. God clearly said, Moses, my servant, is dead. Why he's not the person who couldn't lead the people to the promised land? Because Moses represented law. In this typology, in this book, he represented law, and the law cannot save us. And the law is a revealer of our sin, but not redeemer. And it shows that we are sinner. The law shows us that we are sinner. And we need the Savior. And the law cannot be a Savior. How do I know Moses is law? Then we have to cross-reference with other books. And let's go to the New Testament and think with me, Matthew. In Mount Transfiguration. Remember, Jesus was standing there, Peter and John and James, they just woke up in the siesta, and all of a sudden there's three people standing and glowing. Who would that be? The first one would be Jesus, and then next one is Moses and Elijah. Remember when we studied there, Moses representing what? Law. And Elijah representing prophecy, exactly. Again, this is the kind of cross-reference we need to remember. Moses could not lead the people of Israel to the promised land because another reason is because of his own failure. Remember, in Exodus and the Numbers, you will find, when God told them, since the Israeli people were complaining about, oh, we are thirsty, we ran out of our juice, we ran out of coffee, give us something to drink. So God told Moses, go speak to the rock. Moses has an attitude problem, just like any one of us, so he, instead of speaking to the rock, he beat the snot out of the rock. So God says, I told you to speak to the rock, but you smitten the rock. You represented me wrong. So you will not you will not see the promised land. Can you imagine? You put up with a congregation of 2 million people for 40 years without vacation, without day off, and constantly complaining to him. And day in, day out, they want to stone him. Pretty much every day, he have to fall on his face and then cry out to God. And after that, God says, you're not going to go see the promised land because you screw up here. You fouled up here. You're not going to see it. Can you imagine that disappointment? I would be heartbroken. You know what Moses did? He prepared everything and stood at the edge of the promised land and showing to the people and speaking to them about the law they should take as a nation. That's what Deuteronomy is about. And he went up to the mountain to die. What a man. Again, Moses is not the one who could lead the people to the promised land. Law is revealed, and we showed Moses that he also falls short of the glory of God, just like any one of us. Only the Jesus, our Savior, the Joshua, can lead us into the place of blessing he has for us. God certainly have God could just eliminate all these people and give the whole land to Israeli people. Put it on the silver platter, empty land, no enemies against them. Why didn't he do it? Because he had a plan. God wanted to have them be involved in his master plan. Wouldn't that be easier the other way? Yes, it would be easier for the people, but they would not learn how to depend on God. Same question I would ask. Why not God would just give us this new heart and new body that once we become a born again Christian, we no longer sin against God. We no longer have to choose good and bad. We always choose God. Wouldn't that be great? So anything we think about is exactly aligned with God. We no longer have, then we again lose choice. Then we become nothing more than puppet of God. God does not want that. So God want to include our effort to be with him. And the things we have to do and the thought we have to maintain should be aligned with God. And while doing so, we rely on him. We depend on him. We seek the Spirit of living God. We just read a portion we're talking about. I forgot to. Do you have a pointer? Okay, we'll just use this. I forgot to bring that. Territory God said you can have is here's the Euphrates River. From here to the sun going down, this great sea, that would be Mediterranean Sea. From here to here, all the way to the Nile River. From the wilderness here, that's where they moved around. From here to up here. This vast territory was given to Israeli people. Guess how much they took? That's a 300,000 square miles. Guess how much they took? 30,000 square miles. Why 30,000 square miles? Even that was not when this tribe gone in. During the time of King David and King Solomon, that was the biggest territory they ever had. That was 30,000 square miles. One-tenth. 10% of amount of blessing they all choose. What I'm saying is, even God gave them full potential. God gave them full potential blessing. The people choose not to have that blessing. Folks, this is about the same percentage of spiritual possession claimed by the believers today. Why? Because how do we miss God's blessing God has for us? Because of our disbelief, unbelief, and disobedience. God is giving us so much, but we are the one who is not taking that blessing. What a comfort to know that even no matter what happened, God said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Seems like God is invisible, however, God is in touch. Seems like things are falling apart. We cannot see what's going on, but God is in control. That's including awful situation we in the past and not so happy and wonderful situation and pleasant. In the nail-biting situation in the future. God never loses control. Let's go to the verse 6. Be strong and of good courage. For to this people you shall divide an inheritance the land which I swore to their father to give them. Only be strong and very, very courageous that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses and my servants commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not, underline this book of the law, please, shall not depart from your mouths, but you shall meditate in on day and night, that you may observe it to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your ways prosperous, then you will have a good success. Verse 9, have I not commanded you, be strong and of a good courage? Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Keep your finger right there, and let's go to Psalm 1:1, please. Right after the book of Job, Psalm 1:1. While I was reading this, remind me, Psalm 1:1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates, and day and night he shall be like a tree planted by the river of the water, that bring forth the fruit, its fruit in season, and whose leaves also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. Isn't that really coinciding with that verse? Before God fulfilled his promise, however, Joshua had to exercise faith and be strong and of good courage. The Lord repeated this command how many times within this chapter? Four times. Is it because Joshua was a wimp? I don't think so. He is a courageous general. But we tend to lose our heart when the odds stack against us often. God wants us to be courageous. How can we have a courage in spite of all the odds? How can we do that? Because God is the one who is supplying our needs. Divine sovereignty is not substituted for the human responsibility. Let me repeat it one more time. Divine sovereignty is not substituted for human responsibility. God's sovereign word is encouragement to God's servant to believe him and to obey his command. God gives us a word, that precious jewel, God's word, but we must act upon it. If we don't act upon it, if we don't believe in God's word, then that word doesn't mean a thing. Folks, listen carefully, please. I have not seen anyone to this point, to this date. I haven't seen anyone who has a strong faith yet don't spend the time in the Word of God. Strong faith and meditating upon the God goes hands in hand. Without meditating upon in God's Word, no one can have a good foundation to stand on when the enemies attack, onslaught, and the temptation come against us. Mark this word, remember this thing, please. If you don't, I guarantee you, and the Bible guarantee you, that if you don't spend the time meditating upon the Word of God day in, day out, you will be attacked, you will be slaughtered. You will be kicked. Those who spend time in the Word, even they get kicked, won't make you and I think that we can stand against the devil's onslaught attack when we don't have something to stand on. During the years of his leadership, Moses kept all the things he saw, that God, what God did and God's Word, and he committed to record all of that. In my opinion, folks, this is the greatest legacy that Moses did for his successor, Joshua. He said, here is the book. Here's the law of God. Follow this. Meditate on it. And put this in front of your eyes all the time. Dwell on it. What a legacy he gave to him. It's not enough for us to carry Bible back and forth. As I said before, some people carry this Bible and put it in the car trunk. They don't take it out until next Sunday morning. And all they toss it on the coffee, top of the coffee table. They don't crack the Bible open. Folks, this thing is your word, your food, spiritual food. Just before we start the service, Jim was imitating the one particular preacher. I don't care for that preacher, but what he says is correct. If you are willing to give good food to your horse and give good food to the dog, why don't you give good food to your own soul? If you're willing to feed three times a day or twice a day with good food, why not feed your soul with good food? Comes from the best chef. Let's move on to the verse 10. Then the Joshua commanded the officers of his the people, saying, they pass through the camp and command the people, saying, prepare the provision for yourself on the line. Within 3 days you will cross over this Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God is giving you to possess. And the Reubenite and Gadite and the half tribe of Manasseh, Joshua spoke and saying, remember the word that which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying that the Lord your God is giving you the rest and is giving you this land. Your wives, your little ones, your livestock shall remain in the land which the Moses gave you on this side of the Jordan. But you shall pass over before your brethren armed, all your mighty men of valor, and help them until the Lord has given your brethren rest as he gave you. They also have taken the possession of the land which the Lord your God is giving them. Then you shall return to the land of your possession and enjoy it, which Moses, the Lord's servant, gave you on this side of the Jordan toward the sunrise. I don't know about you, I hate waiting. I don't like waiting for anyone and for anything. That's including God. I'm sorry. That's honest opinion, honest truth. I don't like to wait for God. I just want God to react like this, the way I want. That's the reason why he make me wait all the time. Because he knows that I need to wait upon the Lord. Just like our Savior wait upon the Lord. Wait upon the Father in heaven. Waiting for God is often the most difficult part for us. The days of waiting can be days of preparation in God's work. There is no such a thing as waste time with God. There's no such a thing as wasted time for God. Okay? And some of you are wondering, what are you talking about, that the half-tribe of Manasseh and then the Reubenites and the Gadites was right side of and the east side of Jordan River? Let me go there. Everybody did that? Take care of it? Okay. This is the tribes, the designation. Here's the tribe of Judah. Here's the Simeon, Reuben. This is the Jordan River. Now, he's a Ramsey. That's where they started. And go back and forth. Who knows how the Exodus route. Nobody really knows how. But we know it started from there. It came to here, east side of Jordan River. And they climb up to along the side of the Dead Sea, went up to here, and they crossed the Jordan River. So there on the east side of when I was a baby Christian, I thought that they were on the west side of the Jordan River. It was not. It was on the east side of the Jordan River. They were sitting here, and this Reubenite took over this position. They should have gone into here, not outside of the Jordan, east side of the Jordan River. So the Gadite. This is half tribe of Manasseh, and he's the other half tribe of Manasseh. So that's why it's half tribe dividing. These three tribes decide to stay here on the east side. problem is that it, because they were close to the foreign country, they were more influenced by the foreign idols than any other tribe. Remember, there was a time that Jesus came to the Sea of Galilee, the east side of the Sea of Galilee, and remember that he freed this demon-possessed man running around naked around the tomb, you know, right here, east side of Jordan, Jordan River here. Demons asked Jesus to allow them to go into the pigs, right? Who are those people having a pig farm business? They're Jewish people. They are not foreigners. Who were they? Gadites. What were they doing in the east side of Jordan River taking care of pigs when they're supposed to stay far away from the bacon? Because they were close to the foreign country, foreign idols, they ignored God's law. They walked away from God's law eventually. You with me? If you keep yourself distance from this word, not very long after that time, you will be far away from God. A simple fact is that you stay away from the Word of God, God will stay away from you. No, actually, you are the one who's going to stay away from God. Let's go to next verse 16. So they answered Joshua and saying, all that you command us we will do, and wherever you send us we will go, just as we heed Moses in all things, so we will heed you. Only the Lord your God will be with you as he was with Moses. Whoever rebels against your command and does not heed your word, all that you command him shall be put to death. Only be strong and of good courage. They encouraged Joshua to be obedient and to God, and they will follow him. It's a great encouragement. If people of God, if God's people today saw the obedience to Christ as a matter of life and death, if we see that obeying God is a matter of life and death, we can make a significant difference in the quality of our ministry and to the lost world and also to one another. Don't you think if we really concerned about obeying God is more important than what we like to have, then don't you think that God will honor that and bless our work? Yes, he will. But we are so concerned about the program, we are so concerned about the things that we can have, that we forget the simple obedience to God's word. Let's make an application. Number one, the things we have to do and the thought we have to maintain are against all nature. We have to be alert and prepare for any assault that comes from our enemy by tapping into the power of the Holy Spirit. Don't think that you and I can do it all by ourselves. We cannot. Second application, we often miss out God's blessing for us because of our own spiritual blindness, selfishness, and short-sightedness. Remember, Father knows best. Third application, we need to remember God's promise to be with us so that we don't panic about uncertain future. You might face the difficult time ahead, but God's promise is, I will never leave you, what? Nor forsake you. That's his promise, and he's not about to break his promise just because of you. Fourth application would be, without meditating in God's word, no one can have good foundation to stand on when the enemy is onslaught or the temptation comes against him. you stir away from this book, you are pretty much open game. Yeah. Let's stand up and pray.